Hello again, and welcome to Global Exchange, part of the Canadian Global Affairs Institute's podcast network. I'm your host and Vice President of the Canadian Global Affairs Institute, Colin Robertson. On this episode, we speak with Chris Swindell about the future of Canada's public broadcaster, the CBC. Chris is an historian by training and a journalist by profession. He started his career as a business reporter covering energy at the Financial Post. He moved to national politics, reporting for the Globe and Mail. We got to know each other during the Canada-US Free Trade Agreement negotiations. Then Chris led the Ottawa Bureau of the Globe and Mail and then the CBC. He was executive producer of CBC News specials from 1995 to 2001, winning awards for their election coverage. He then joined the journalism faculty at Carleton University and served as director of the Journalism School. Chris is also, and notably, a member of the Canadian Global Affairs Institute Advisory Council. We benefit from his advice and experience. Chris and his co-author, Mount Royal University professor David Terrace, have just published The End of the CBC. In 8 chapters and a relatively spartan 260 pages, they argue that the CBC faces 3 overlapping crises. There is its perennial tribulations. There is the crisis of content in the face of diffusion, dispersion, and a broken financial base. Then there is the crisis besetting democracies because populism, globalization, and technological change is changing how we do our interact with our media. Chris and David Terrace argue that Canada's public broadcaster has reached an existential moment. Decades of funding cuts, political interference, poor management, and government decisions to boost private sector broadcasters are compounded by challenges around content, competition, and splintered audiences. They observe that the CBC, with its audience dropping by a half every 2 decades since the 60s, must reform, or as they put it, wither into a, quote, zombie-like half-life, unquote. They conclude that to survive, the CBC must go back to basic functions of providing news and current affairs with Canadian voices and Canadian perspectives. This means leaving sports, no more Hockey Night of Canada on CBC, and the American sitcoms that inhabit prime time in the private networks. Chris, welcome to Global Exchange.
Thanks very much, Colin.
So, why did you and David Terrace decide to write the book?
Well, I think your introduction covers a lot of it. David and I have both been looking at what's been going on in the world of the media and what's been going on in the world of audiences over the last 10 or 15 years. And in that period, there's been some pretty dramatic changes. For the media in Canada particularly, there's been a real financial crisis as advertising has left news organizations, starting with classified advertising back in the 2007-2008, going to places like Kijiji and Craigslist, and then more recently display advertising, the advertising that's in newspapers, all being eaten up largely by Facebook and Google and some of the other aggregators, because they can sell it more cheaply, they can target audiences more directly, and advertisers can in fact even get information back from their advertisements. Give us your email if you're interested in more, and can collect information about audiences. And of course, the big social media companies also have a lot of data they can collect about audiences that can help advertisers too. So CBC is caught in a world where that's happening. And at the same time, audience preferences are changing quite dramatically. And there's much more available, often in different ways and different formats. And we're seeing, for instance, young people under the age of 30 are abandoning cable television pretty directly to go to the streaming services, whether it's Netflix or Amazon Prime or some of the others that are coming along. And in fact, we're seeing lots of other changes among audiences too, all of which I think threaten the continued existence of the CBC the way it is and force a pretty fundamental reevaluation of what it's doing and where it should be in the market. And I should say on that point at the start, we're talking mostly about CBC television here, because we think CBC radio largely has a place that it's carved out for itself as a no advertising broadcaster and is doing fairly well. But it's television that has a big problem, and it's television that people look to in a lot of cases.
So it's when you talk about audience, we're really talking about the decline there. We're talking about decline in TV audience.
That's correct. That's right.
And you point out that we've described it as a medium with radio and television, but CBC has also got into streaming. And it's now got, I think, quite a good website. So I guess it's fair to say that CBC is trying to embrace some of the changes.
It is trying to embrace some of the changes, but that's where it's also running up against some problems against private media, who, of course, don't like the fact that the CBC is basically what we used to have was radio, television, newspapers, all as distinct entities, but they're all kind of merged online. And private media companies who are moving online and trying to persuade people to pay for subscriptions online are running up against the fact that the CBC is giving away the news and information for free. And one of the problems that the private media faces is that a lot of the public opinion research that's been done in the last 3 or 4 years shows a pretty consistent response among Canadians that only 9% of Canadians are prepared to pay for news and information online. So that's nine, one less than 10. It's not very many people. And one of the reasons private media think that may be is because the CBC is giving it all away for free. And above and beyond that, the secondary problem they complain about is the fact that CBC is also selling advertising in its online presence as well as in its television presence. And they don't like that either. So that's led to increasing friction along the way too.
Okay, I'll come back to advertising, but you know, arguably the CBC, well, not arguably, it was set up to serve as a public good, the social glue binding Canadians. I think, as you say, it was a national initiative for national unity in the same sense as the railway binds East and West, our social programs, and the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Arguably, we still need a public broadcaster to provide that news for free, even though other options are available. It is meant to be the kind of the public arbiter, is it not?
Very much so. I mean, we very much think there is a place for the CBC in the future. And I should say, when we titled the book "The End of the CBC," we put a question mark at the end of it, which I think is maybe relevant at the moment. But yes, when the CBC was started, it was started in part to deal with the fact that radio was coming into Canada from the United States and was threatening to take over all of the airwaves, because in those days, a great number of Canadians lived within reach of American radio signals. And also, frankly, it was also set up because there was concern about religious broadcasters in Canada taking over the airwaves as well and wanting to offer an independent radio voice. Television came along in the early 1950s. And even when I was growing up in Toronto in the 1960s, we could get CBC, a couple of, and CTV, and two or three stations in Buffalo, but not much else. But of course, now you can get hundreds of stations, all if you want to pay for it all. And the challenge that CBC faces is in the last 20 or 30 years, basically everything that CBC does when it tries to do on television, everything for everyone, there are specialty channels that do all those things too, whether it's sports, whether it's comedy, whether it's drama, whether it's environment, whether it's science, whether it's children's programming. And basically, we argue that the times have changed to the point where the CBC can't afford to do all of that anymore, just because it doesn't have the resources and it can't compete on all those levels.
So in a sense, going back to its basics, which was to provide kind of a Canadian perspective with Canadian voice on Canadian subjects.
Yes, very much so. Although we don't think, in fact, I mean, we argue as well that they can't compete in drama and comedy and those sorts of things. They can't compete against the streaming services, the global streaming services, and we don't think they can compete on two levels. The global streaming services are spending a huge amount of money. The Amazon Primes or Apple TV or Disney, which is into it now, and Netflix, they're spending a huge amount of money on programming every year. Netflix is spending $8 billion a year on programming. CBC's total budget is about 1.6 billion now, and that's for English and French radio and television, for news channels, and also for broadcasting in 8 Indigenous languages. And that's for everything. The other big advantage the streaming services have is that they're also collecting data from all their customers. So every time you're watching something on Netflix, Netflix is getting information about what you're watching, how long you're watching it, and they're using that to help determine what they think they should be commissioning in the way of future programming. CBC can't compete against that. It doesn't have the ability to collect that data. And frankly, I'm not sure the public would want a Crown Corporation to be collecting that sort of data either. So on those levels, we think, and we can talk about it a little more later if you're interested, we think that a much better policy on things like if government believes it's important that Canadian stories should be told and should be distributed to a broader audience, we think it's smarter to try to have government fund more of that directly and try to get that material on the global streaming services than to continue to try to put it into the CBC, where we just don't think there's a big enough audience.
Okay, we'll come back to that, because I guess what you're saying, sure, is you go right to the basically the producers, almost like the NFB and others, and they then produce the content which the CBC would then broadcast.
And essentially, that's what happens. Well, no, it's what happens at the moment. CBC, Radio Canada is a little bit different, but CBC hasn't produced much of its own, if any of its own material for a long time. It's all produced by independent broadcasters who market it to the CBC. And what we're suggesting that on those issues is that we think government should fund those broadcasters directly and then set up an agency. Maybe it's the National Film Board, I don't know, who would then market the programming to the global streaming services and get it on the global streaming service. The other issue
that's a kind of that's a separate track then from just the CBC.
Yes, and it would be outside of the CBC, and we don't think the CBC should be in any of that anymore.
Okay.
But the other issue, on the global streaming services, though, is I think we're not very far away from a more fundamental disruption in the Canadian media landscape, and that I don't think the American producers of programming that Global and CTV now run, the dramatic series and comedies and all those things, I don't think for much longer they're going to license them to Canadian broadcasters. They'd be much smarter just to license them to the global streaming services as well. And when that happens, I think both Global and CTV are in significant problems, and I'm not sure that they could survive. So what you're
saying, just to take it back then, when you say Global to others, it would be the American broadcasters would be using things like Netflix and Amazon and these new networks that we've seen emerge.
Yeah, why would you strike a separate deal for Canada when you can just market it, sell it to the global services and for a global license? And
sure,
we think that's not very far off, and that then leads to a whole other reshake up or crisis in the broader Canadian media. And we've already seen the crisis that's been existing in funding for what used to be newspapers and local news and local publications.
Sure. No, exactly. You think of people, of things like the National Post and others, that they're really fairly desperate and are looking for bluntly some kind of federal support in a way.
Yeah, there are a series of government announcements that have been made to do labor subsidies, to subsidize costs for employers and news employees of salary costs, and also a proposal that people who subscribe to online publications could get a tax credit for it, and also some changes perhaps to Canada Revenue Agency rules that would allow some news organizations to become philanthropic enterprises.
Chris, there isn't. You used some interesting phrases in the book about public broadcasting, and I'm going to cite three of them and wonder if you could just explain a bit what you mean. Specifically, you talk about public broadcasting as about bridging, witnessing, and connecting.
Well, what we're talking about is what role we think public broadcasting can and should play in the country. And that's actually to be there, to report on what's happening in Canada, to do things, see things with Canadian eyes, to bring stories from parts of Canada, news and information and current affairs about parts of Canada, other parts of Canada. But the other part of that, Colin, as well, is we think basically what we're advocating for is if CBC was to switch to become news, information, and current affairs, we think one thing it needs to do is make a significant investment and significant increase in foreign reporting and foreign coverage. And that's a significant increase in putting Canadian reporters around the world, covering the world through Canadian eyes and telling stories back to Canadians about what's going on in the rest of the world. And that includes quite significantly the parts of the world where many Canadians come from. As we know, our country is now very diverse. We have people, we have Canadians, people have come here and become Canadians from all over the world. Yet none of our media anymore really tells Canadians about what's going on in all those places. Well, we think that's a role that CBC should play and can play and did play in the past, in part because private media and private broadcasters and private media largely have withdrawn from all sort of foreign news and also international coverage. There's the television networks, Global and CTV, have a few people, one or two, a few reporters outside the country. CBC has a few at the moment. Globe and Mail has a few, but the Toronto Star, for instance, now has one foreign correspondent in Washington. Canadian Press doesn't have anybody in London, England, or really outside, other than Washington, outside Canada. And we, as a result, are getting most of our news about the world from foreign news organizations and from foreign reporters who, no matter how they try to report, don't see things through the eyes of Canadians, don't use Canadian metaphors or Canadian examples in their stories, and don't really aren't writing for Canadian audiences. And we think it's important that Canadians understand the world through Canadian eyes. And we think that's a prime job for the public broadcaster. and a job where the public broadcaster has the resources to do it when maybe the privates don't anymore. And frankly, another thing we would suggest is that the work being done by the public broadcaster should be freely available to the private broadcasters if they want it, both internationally, and the domestic work being done by the CBC should be freely available to anybody who wants to share it or take it as well.
Okay, now this takes us right to the heart of your recommendation, which also involves shedding some things. And as I said in the outset, that you talk about no more Hockey Night in Canada, that we basically, the sitcoms and stuff go, and as you've said, explained earlier, be distributed through other kinds of things. That's going to be fairly radical. Do you think it would work?
I don't think it's that radical at all anymore. I mean, I think the big problem that many media companies face in struggling to survive is that if you lose the advertising revenue, for instance, newspapers, up to 80% of their revenue used to come from advertising, and only about 20% came from their readers who would buy subscriptions or pick up the newspaper when it was sold in a store. They're losing all that. So I don't think there's a business model out there for a publication or for a media company that wants to be everything to everyone. I think the ones that have a chance of surviving and the ones that seem to be surviving are the ones who are more selective, covering a narrower range of things, doing a narrower range of things, doing it better than anyone else, and providing good information in a timely fashion. And so I think that means you need to narrow your focus of what you're doing. So what we think the CBC should be doing is not only narrow its focus to news, current affairs and information, but also narrow its focus of what things it's covering. And the things we suggest, as I mentioned earlier, was a much greater focus on international, both because it can be a way to connect Canadians with the rest of the world, to connect Canadians with the countries that many of our citizens now come from, and to give them a view of the world that's through Canadian eyes. But we also think on news and information, they should focus on, we've got about six or seven specific areas: urban life, everything that goes on in urban Canada, from transportation, urban growth and the environment, social policy, immigration, all those things, all the challenges we're facing in urban areas, business and the economy, that affects everyone and is important. And CBC, frankly, didn't do very much of that at the moment. And public policy, the federal, provincial, municipal level, health and science, and technology, that's important as well. And what Canadians are doing and stories about Canadians doing interesting and important things, making a difference both in Canada and around the world. And we think that that would be distinctive and different from what a lot of the other broadcasters are doing. And also is important information that Canadians need to know to understand their world, both domestic and international, and also to be active and engaged participants in that world.
So it sounds to me a bit like News World on steroids, with international correspondents, much more sort of coverage of the domestic issues, not just news summaries, but actually current affairs. Is that fair?
That is fair, although News World, as it's called, CBC News Network now, is mostly people sitting in rooms talking. And we don't think people should be sitting in rooms talking. They should be out seeing things, doing things, and reporting on things. But to give you a couple of examples of what we're talking about, and this is true both domestically and internationally, in most of the journalism that we do and most of the stories that we do, we really don't tell people very much about what's going on in other places. We don't really, for instance, when we're looking at healthcare, we compare ourselves against the United States and pat ourselves on the back because we don't have millions of people who have no health insurance. We never compare our system to the French system or a Scandinavian system or the German system. We don't do any of that in our journalism. And when we don't do that, we're not doing what we could be doing in terms of letting people know how other people do things, and that we may not be the best way of doing it. We don't even, in most of our journalism, we don't even compare how BC does something with how Ontario does something. So, I mean, there's huge opportunities in many of these areas to do interesting stories, to do stories that can help people understand the world around them and can break away from some of the reliance on things that you can leave the private sector media to do. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, that would be things like traffic, courts, crime, fires, car accidents, local, whatever the latest outburst is on social media that you can see everywhere else, entertainment, those sorts of things.
So you're kind of, in many, many ways, the CBC would become kind of specialists like The Economist, The New York Times. You're making it truly a flagship for, as you describe it, the issues that really truly matter to Canada with experts. So we would cease, in a sense, then to have journalists who right now seem to have to be jacks of all trade and cover every subject, but nobody's an expert in anything. So you would certainly have more reporters. Would you not?
You would certainly have more reporters. You would have people covering. You would do what we've lost in the media, and as as the money has disappeared in large cases, news organizations have cut back on the number of reporters and editors they have, and they've eliminated largely most of what used to be specialist reporters, which is what you're talking about, I think. So people don't have an ability to develop an expertise in what are very difficult and complicated and complex issues they're trying to recover on, whether it's coronavirus, whether it's climate change, whether it's urban transportation. All these issues are energy. All these issues are difficult and complex issues, and it's very hard to cover them if you've got someone who's doing that one day, doing a Supreme Court case the next day, and then maybe the day after that, doing someone who's not happy with their bank. So we need to be able to enlighten people. We need to go back to an era where we have reporters who develop a degree of specialization. And the other side of that is the audience over time then starts to look to them as being people who know something and even come to the television to hear what that person has to say about an issue when an issue's out there.
One of the criticisms, and this runs as a theme throughout your book, of course, has been the feeling that the CBC is somewhat politicized, favoring one side or the other. Part of that, of course, is, and you talk about this, the sort of what you call victim coverage. How would you avoid that criticism, fair or unfair, from the critics?
About politicization?
Politicization, and also the sense that there's a slant, that the CBC seems to be covering things, as you say, from, I guess you term it, victim coverage.
Well, I mean, victim coverage, it's more like, we kind of describe that more as people who want to complain about everything. They can't get parts for their Ford F-150 truck. They felt that feel Air Canada treats them badly, or this, that, or everything else. The political issue is an interesting one, and basically in the book, and the early chapter, we try to look in the book at what's happened to the CBC between the 1990s and the current era. And in fact, one of the big problems I think the CBC has faced is the fact that politicians in the political level, whether it's the Liberals or Conservatives, have not viewed the public broadcaster through the eyes or the lens of what it can do for Canada, whether it's enhancing Canada's international reputation or just educating the public. They have traditionally viewed it through the lens of how can it hurt them. In other words, what will the public broadcaster do that will damage us? And that, whether that's Mr. Chrétien and his dealings with the Parti Québécois in referendum and sovereignty campaigns, whether it's Mr. Harper and his government, which viewed the CBC as an enemy. At one point, the CBC, at one point back in the days of Radio Canada International, and I'm talking about radio, CBC had a significant international presence on radio. That got cut by governments in the late 1980s and early 1990s on what was shortwave radio then. CBC also had News World International for a while when News World came on the air and was broadcasting in the United States. In one of the many cutbacks, that was sold to Al Gore, who then sold it to Al Jazeera English. So that network disappeared. So over the last 20 or 30 years, we've also retreated from any sort of international presence or attempt to be international at a time where I think that's really important. But to get back to your original point about politicization, I remember doing way back in 2006, working with the people at Decima and Bruce Anderson at the time and asking in an election campaign and doing some opinion polling. And what we discovered amongst the public was that people who supported the Liberals thought that the media was way too hard on Paul Martin and not nearly hard enough on Stephen Harper. People who supported the Conservatives thought the media was way too hard on Stephen Harper and not nearly hard enough on Paul Martin during that election campaign. And I think the idea that there's the politicization is largely a vision through the eyes of the beholder.
No, and I think that's always been the case. Chris, you were also a business reporter and you appreciate the importance of kind of revenue streams and things. Does the CBC need a different revenue model? Right now, all the money seems to come from Parliament. At one point, there was a licensing fee so that the public actually paid. The BBC and others seem to have this still, but as you point out in your book, this seemed to end about 1952, 53, when we brought in television. Would this be a piece, do you think this would make for a more healthy CBC if there was a direct connection with its audience?
I think it, in theory, Colin, maybe, but in practice, it would never work. And in fact, what's happening in the UK, there is a television license you have to buy every year. That's now breaking down as people move away from watching the BBC on television, and they're watching it on computer screens. And the Conservative government in the UK under Mr. Johnson is engaged in a bit of a war against the BBC, and he's even talking about getting rid of that in 2026 or 27 when it actually happens. I think that the CBC used to get a fair amount of money from advertising, but it's not getting nearly as much money from advertising as it used to get. So advertising isn't much of a source of income. I think what we would argue is that we don't believe there should be any advertising on CBC at all. We don't think there should be advertising on television. We don't think there should be advertising on online. I probably foolishly decided I would watch the Queen's Christmas message on my web, on the CBC website on Christmas Day, just to see what the Queen was having to say. And in order to watch the Queen's message, I had to watch an ad for Amazon and another ad for a movie. Well, why should I have to do that on a public broadcaster? I don't think that's right or appropriate. We don't, and in fact, I think if you were to get advertising out of the CBC, off all of the CBC, I think that would change the dynamics on a whole bunch of things, because you no longer feel you need to compete on what they're doing, because what they're competing for is audiences, because they're trying to raise advertising revenue. If you were to change the CBC along the lines of what we're talking about, but still keep the budgets the same as it is, which is approximately $1.2 or $1.3 billion from Parliament, I think there would be lots of money to do news, current affairs, and information in English, French, and Indigenous languages as well.
And take us back to that, as you point out, people like Graham Spry and others, that this was the social glue. This was the binder, the connector. Okay, they're taking it back. All right, listeners, the end of the CBC, Chris Waddell and David Terrace. I heartily recommend it. It's a good and easy read, and it is important that you read it, because you'll learn something about our public broadcasting situation in Canada and how it can be improved. Chris, thank you for writing the book. Now, let me ask you, what are you reading these days?
I'm actually reading like four different books that I'm all partway through. Can I talk about four different ones?
You can tell them, absolutely.
Okay. One is Ken Dryden's book about Scotty Bowman, the longtime coach of the Montreal Canadiens and other NHL teams. One is Max Hastings' History of Vietnam, Vietnam War. One is written by a history professor at Carleton, Matthew Bellamy, which is called Brood in the North, which is a history of Labatt's. And the fourth one, I figured I've had it on my wall, on my bookshelf for a long time, but it's John Gaddis's biography of George F. Kennan. And I decided it was maybe time to start to read that as I look at what's happening between China and the United States. So I'm bouncing back and forth between all four of them, depending on how I feel on any given day.
All right. For viewers in this time, when you have time to read, there's four options from Chris. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Global Exchange. We were joined today by Chris Waddell for a discussion of his book, The End of the CBC. Remember, you can find the CJA Network on iTunes and Google Play. If you like the show, give us a rating. You can also find Canadian Global Affairs Institute on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. The Global Exchange is brought to you by our team at CJAI. Thanks go out to producer Jay Rankin and to Drew Phillips for providing our music. I'm Colin Robertson. Thanks for joining us today on The Global Exchange.